tackles for loss. You guys have really done a great job there this year. What do you think has allowed that to happen? You've been so efficient there.
I think our front guys are suited for that kind of stunt and movement stuff that we do in our defense. That's why we do it. You know, it's a lot of it's what Greg has done all along and all the places he's been. But when he got here and he looked at our defensive front personnel, we have that kind of athletic front guys. You know, we may not be overpowering from a size standpoint, but we got guys that can definitely run and move. And so when you put them in those positions, and a lot of them aren't all full out pressures, you know, you're just moving the four down guys when you're playing conventional coverage. And, you know, they just have had some success slipping through some of the blocking patterns, you know.
Bowers got some more snaps on Sunday, making that progress in his recovery, I guess. How do you describe his comeback and how impressive it is, and what have you seen from him so far?
He's done a nice job. You know, his best football is definitely in front of him because he's really just getting back in football shape. And he'd probably tell you the same thing. He's probably a little rusty in just some of the basic techniques of playing run blocks or pass rushing. But as you know, he's a very talented player, and he's contributed already in the time he's been back. And that contribution will only become more and more as he gets in better shape and gets a chance to play more snaps, which we're trying to incrementally get him in that position.
Coach, being number one against the run compared to last year, obviously, where the team was last, but does that come at the expense of the pass defense sometimes? Is there any correlation between the two?
I really don't think it is. I can see why you'd think that because, you know, we haven't played as well against the pass, especially on first and second down. But our players don't perceive it that way, and schematically it is not. You know, I think I mentioned before that the fact that we've done a good job in the run is actually should help your pass defense because it puts you in second and long and hopefully third and long, which are more predictable situations, and then you can know what kind of coverage you want to play or if you decide to pressure in those situations. So we preach, and our guys understand that the fact that we have a good run defense should actually help our pass defense. And I know it doesn't show that statistically, but that's kind of our philosophy of how you work the first down, second down, third down, and try to win and get off the field.
Greg said the issues with the pass defense aren't just any one person or any one thing, but you've been winning kind of, I guess, the common themes around it, or is it more of like a man matchup, or is it a scheme thing? Or?
Yeah, you know, it really, there isn't a common theme, because if there was, we would definitely be trying to address it. You know, we've given up passing yardage in four-man rush and pressures. We've given up in two high zone coverages. We've given up in one high. And, you know, what happens is when you give up a couple of big ones, it skews your stats. You know, like the other day, and even though we didn't play well enough in pass defense the other day, you know, the guy threw the ball 60-some times. So you're going to give up some yardage when you do that, especially when you're playing with the lead. But that, you know, we definitely need to play better in the pass defense. That has been an Achilles heel for us, and we got to improve in that, especially on first and second down.
Coach, what about to the fans who look at E.J. Biggers in that game, giving up a couple touchdowns, a two-point conversion? You know, it did look like he got beat per se, you know, by 10 or 15 yards, but how was his technique and how would you grade out how he performed on Sunday?
Well, you know, for those particular plays, you can always critique the guy making the coverage. And, you know, he got beat on a couple of big passes. But our defensive guys hold all of each other accountable for the fact that, you know, in some of those we were pressuring and the pressures weren't executed well enough where the quarterback was comfortable in the pocket and had a time to just wait for the route to develop. And eventually in this league, they can throw the guy open. You know, the receivers and quarterbacks are good enough that if you're not affecting the quarterback and getting him to have to get off his launch point, the good ones, and we play a good one almost every week, they're going to throw and catch those. So, yeah, you can always critique the corner, and EJ would tell you the same thing. He could have played those with better technique, specifics, both at the line of scrimmage and late in the down the field where the ball was caught. But, you know, we hold ourselves accountable from the front end as well as far as putting pressure on the quarterback, and we didn't do a good enough job on either one of those.
You face good quarterbacks every week, and what about Philip Rivers makes him stand out in that passing offense in particular?
I think like a lot of the good ones, they have the ability to get rid of the ball quickly before the pressure gets there. He's not going to take a lot of sacks. They have a good enough passing attack where they have, you know, check down safety valves for him where he can dump the ball off if he feels pressure. And their running backs are both, you know, both of the ones that play on first and third down are excellent receivers and have a lot of catches and a lot of yards after the catch. And so they're happy to do that and just make you tackle then in the open field, or even if you're in man-to-man coverage, do you have a guy that can actually cover a Ronnie Brown or, you know, Matthews like that? So I think that's probably the best thing about him. It's the good ones They don't sit there for a very long time, and when they feel pressure, they're able to get rid of the ball quickly.
So you have a quicker release than Philip Rivers?
I don't know if they
don't even have an elbow.
Yeah, and he actually, you know, he looks a little unorthodox, like he's just slinging it sometimes. Not a conventional passer, but in his mind, he's going to get rid of the ball, and he can make the throws even with some of the unorthodox releases that he has.
Hey, David had 16 tackles last week, and the thing that I watch is how much better is he just in the check game, the middle game of, in calling signals, getting you in and out of defenses based on what he's seeing from now, from first week to now?
A lot better, and as you know, we put a lot on him because he's in all the groupings. He played every single snap, and you know, we do ask that guy to make a lot of communication calls at the line of scrimmage, both just in setting our defense and in, you know, checking defenses that we have. Not all of our defenses are checked. Some are just huddle calls. But the ones that we do, he's going to be responsible. Him and the safety is responsible for doing that. So, yeah, he's grown tremendously in that area. And it obviously hasn't affected his play. You know, he's still able to play above the mental responsibilities and, like you said, make, you know, dozen tackles every single week. He had a really good game the other day. You know, not only is he productive numerically, he's a physical player as well. He made a lot of really physical tackles in the run game.
Talib moving on and the corner position being in flux, you don't have a true lockdown corner per se. Does that restrict your aggressiveness in terms of wanting to blitz more? Are you feeling that you have to hold back because maybe you don't have the guys who can man up on receivers on the outside?
We don't feel that way. We feel we have good enough corners. And even if we did feel that way, or we felt we had two, you know, lockdown corners, we had two of them, which most people don't, we would still go in every game feeling that you have to have a mix of coverage and pressure. You know, even if you had the two best corners in the NFL, you wouldn't pressure consistently because you're going to eventually play teams that will pick up the pressure and they'll throw to the receivers and the quarterbacks are good enough to get the ball out to them. So we definitely feel we have good enough corner personnel, but regardless of what personnel we had, we would go into every game feeling you have to have a balance and a mix where you're playing some too high zone coverages to, I guess you might say, protect the corners. But really, it's a different kind of coverage. You're posing a different scheme for the offense. But again, and even if we felt we had very poor corners, we'd still would pressure because even if you just play coverage all the time, they'll throw and catch into that as well. You've got to affect the quarterback. I mean, that's the bottom line in the NFL. If you don't affect the quarterback, it's virtually impossible to stop the passing game. So as much as people want to focus on the coverage, and that's what's very evident when you sit up in the stands and watch it, if you're not affecting the quarterback's throw, it's very, very difficult to consistently stop the guys that we play every week. They're just too good.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Locker room's open.